Hey everyone, welcome back. I think we all know someone or have heard stories about those kids, those bright kids who just seem to operate on a different wavelength.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And it's so easy to just lump them all together under those labels, gifted or autistic, without really understanding the nuances of what makes each of those unique.
Exactly. And that's what we are going to do today. We are going to unpack this whole giftedness and autism thing because it's not as simple as it might seem at first glance.
You got it. It's a really important distinction to make because when we oversimplify these categories, we do a disservice to those kids and their families.
Absolutely. So let's dive into this. What are we working with here in terms of like the research and stuff?
Well, we've got a ton of fascinating research articles, expert opinions, and personal anecdotes from folks who have lived experience with both giftedness and autism.
Okay, so a good mix of perspectives.
Cool.
What's the goal here for this deep dive? What do we really want listeners to walk away with?
I think the main thing is to equip our listeners to be able to see past those surface-level assumptions about giftedness and autism, to understand that there are real and significant differences between the two, even though they might share some overlapping traits.
That makes sense because I think a lot of times people just see a kid who is super smart or maybe a little socially awkward and they jump to conclusions, right?
Right. It's like that whole Rain Man stereotype, super intelligent, but completely out of sync with the social world. And that just isn't an accurate representation of either giftedness or autism.
Yeah, it can be super misleading and it can also perpetuate these harmful stereotypes.
Totally. And honestly, even professionals sometimes get it wrong. They might misdiagnose a child as gifted when they're actually autistic, or vice versa. And that can have huge implications for how that child is supported and educated.
Yeah, wow. So where do we even begin to untangle all of this? How do we start to see the differences beneath those outward behaviors?
Well, one of the things that really jumped out at me from the research was how much pop culture influences our perceptions of both giftedness and autism. You think about those classic movie characters, the quirky genius who is brilliant but can't seem to hold a conversation.
Oh, yeah, totally. I see what you mean. It's like those characters become the archetype for how we view these neurodivergent groups.
Exactly. And it's not just Hollywood either. This oversimplification seeps into real life too. You see it in how parents, teachers, even some therapists might approach these kids.
So this confusion isn't just some abstract academic debate. It's having a real impact on how we interact with these kids.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important to unpack these complexities.
So let me unpack it. What are some of the key things that contribute to this confusion? What are those shared traits that make it so hard to distinguish between giftedness and autism?
Well, one of the big ones is that both gifted and autistic kids can display similar outward behaviors. They might have really strong memories, be advanced in their language skills, and even have difficulty connecting with their peers.
Okay, so on the surface, they might look similar, but are the underlying reasons for those behaviors the same?
That's the million-dollar question. And the answer is often no. One study used this great analogy. It's like seeing two kids building with blocks. They might both create these really impressive structures, but the blueprints they are working from are completely different.
Okay, I like that analogy. So even though the end result might look similar, the underlying cognitive processes could be totally different.
Right. You might have one kid who is building intuitively based on their natural spatial reasoning skills, and another kid who is meticulously following a set of instructions they've memorized.
So in the context of giftedness and autism, you might have one child who is naturally gifted in language and another who has learned to mimic language patterns without fully grasping the social nuances.
Exactly. And that's just one example. There are tons of others, like how they approach problem solving, their sensory sensitivities, even their emotional expression.
So it sounds like we need to go beyond just observing their behavior and really try to understand the why behind it.
Yes. And that can be really tricky. It requires careful observation, a deep understanding of both giftedness and autism, and a willingness to see each child as an individual.
So what are some specific examples of how those blueprints, those underlying cognitive processes, might differ even when the outward behavior looks similar?
Let's stick with language skills for a second, because that's something that often gets conflated. One source described a case study of a gifted child who was using metaphors and complex sentence structures way beyond their age level. They were clearly a whiz with words, but more than that, they were using language to express these really nuanced thoughts and feelings. It was fascinating.
So it wasn't just about having a big vocabulary. It was about using language in a really sophisticated way.
Right. On the other hand, the same source talked about an autistic child who would memorize this extensive dictionary of words. They could rattle off definitions and use these big words, but they really struggled to use those words appropriately in social contexts.
So they knew the what of language, but not necessarily the how or the why.
Yes. It's like they had the tools, but they didn't quite know how to use them in the real world.
That's a really powerful example of how the same behavior, having a large vocabulary, can stem from total different cognitive processes.
Right. And it highlights why it's so crucial to look beyond those surface similarities.
Okay, so if those surface similarities are so misleading, what are the key differences that really set giftedness and autism apart? Where do we start to see those blueprints diverge in a really meaningful way?
That's where things get really interesting, and that's what we were going to delve into next. One of the most illuminating lenses we can use to understand these differences is social awareness. How each group experiences and understands social dynamics reveals a lot about how their minds work.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Let's talk about that. So this social awareness thing, it feels like a big one, especially when we're talking about kids. How does that play out differently in gifted versus autistic kids?
You're so right. It's huge.
Yeah.
And it gets to the heart of their inner experiences. One source really brought this to life. It talked about this gifted kid who was super aware of all the social norms and expectations, like from a really young age.
Wow, so they knew they were different.
Exactly. But it wasn't like a cool, I'm unique kind of thing. It was more like, oh no, I don't fit in. And that awareness just brought this constant anxiety.
Like they were always on the outside looking in.
Yeah, exactly. And that can be incredibly isolating. Especially for a kid.
So it's almost like they get the social rules, but they don't know how to play the game.
Right. And that can be really frustrating for them.
Right.
Now, with autistic kids, it could be a whole other experience. They might not pick up on those unwritten social rules as easily.
So that can lead to those unintentional faux pas. Or like they might say or do something that's totally innocent, but it comes across as rude or weird.
Yeah. And that can be tough because then they're getting these negative reactions from others. And they don't even understand why.
So it's not just about being different. It's about how that difference is processed and experienced internally.
You nailed it. It's about how that difference shapes their whole worldview, how they see themselves, how they interact with others, and ultimately how they feel about themselves.
And I imagine these subtle distinctions have a huge ripple effect, right? Like it impacts their ability to form friendships, to succeed in school, to just navigate life in general.
Absolutely. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And it highlights why we need to move away from these simplistic either or categories, like neurotypical versus autistic.
Yeah, because that binary thinking just doesn't capture the complexity of human neurology.
Right. It's so limiting. And that's where this whole idea of neurodiversity comes in.
Okay, so let's talk about neurodiversity, because I feel like that's a term we hear more and more these days, but I'm not sure everyone fully understands what it means.
It's a powerful concept. It basically recognizes that there's this whole spectrum of neurological variations.
So instead of just two categories, neurotypical and autistic, there's this whole range of ways brains can be wired.
Exactly. And that means that there's no one right way for a brain to function.
So giftedness and autism, they both fall under this umbrella of neurodiversity.
They do.
Really?
And that's a really helpful way to frame it because it moves us away from this idea of normal versus abnormal.
So instead of labeling kids as either normal or deficient, we're recognizing that they just have different strengths and challenges.
Exactly. And that's crucial. Because when we see difference as a deficit, we limit possibilities.
But when we embrace neurodiversity, we open ourselves up to a whole world of possibilities, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
Whoa.
It's about recognizing that different doesn't mean less than, it just means different.
And that brings us to this really important point, the possibility of dual diagnosis.
Right, because if neurodiversity is a spectrum, then a child can be both gifted and autistic.
Which makes things even more complex.
It does, but it also makes things more interesting and more nuanced.
So how do we approach diagnosis when we're thinking about this possibility of a child being both gifted and autistic?
Well, the first thing is to remember that a diagnosis, whether it's single or dual, is not a label. It's a tool.
A tool to understand and support a child's unique needs.
Exactly. And that's where seeking out professionals who are skilled in both giftedness and autism becomes so important.
Because they can help us make sense of that complex interplay between those two neurotypes.
Precisely. And that's where we need to be careful. Because a misdiagnosis or a misdiagnosis can have really significant consequences for a child.
So what are some of the things those professionals would be looking for when trying to tease apart those two diagnoses, especially in a dual diagnosis situation?
It's a delicate process, but there are some key areas they focus on, like language use, for example.
Okay, so we talked about that earlier, how an autistic child might have a big vocabulary but struggle with social pragmatics.
Right, but they'll also look at things like perspective taking, how well a child can understand and consider the viewpoints of others.
And how would that differ between a gifted child and an autistic child?
Well, gifted children often have a highly developed sense of empathy and perspective taking, but they might struggle to apply that understanding in real-time social interactions.
Because they're overthinking it. Or they're too aware of all the possible social implications.
It could be. And then with autistic children, they might have difficulty understanding that other people have different thoughts and feelings than they do.
So it's not that they don't care, it's that they might have a harder time accessing that information.
Exactly. And that can lead to miscommunications and misunderstandings.
So that's just one example of how professionals can start to differentiate between giftedness and autism. But it sounds like it requires a really deep understanding of both neurotypes.
It definitely does. It's not something that can be done with a quick checklist or a simple test. It requires a holistic approach.
A lot of careful observation and really getting to know the child as an individual.
Yes. And that takes time and expertise.
So let's talk about why all of this matters. What are the stakes here? Why is it so important to get these diagnoses right?
That's what we're going to explore next, because the consequences of misdiagnosis or overlooking dual diagnoses can be really profound for these kids.
It really is about looking at the whole child, isn't it? But I guess the big question is, why does all this matter? What are the stakes here if these diagnoses are missed or misunderstood? What happens then?
That's when things can get really tough, especially for these kids who often have so much potential. They can face some serious challenges without the right support.
Like, what kind of challenges? What does that look like?
Or imagine for a second that you feel like your brain is just wired differently than everyone else's. You're constantly picking up on things that other people miss. You're intensely curious. You see patterns that others don't. But you also struggle to fit in, you know? You just can't seem to make sense of those social cues that everyone else seems to get.
That sounds so frustrating and lonely.
It can be. And that's the reality for a lot of kids who are either misdiagnosed or whose dual diagnosis is overlooked. It can lead to feeling alienated, feeling frustrated. And honestly, it can even make it harder for them to reach their full potential.
That's heartbreaking. It makes you realize how important it is to get those diagnoses right and to provide the right support, not just for their happiness, but for them to truly thrive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not just about the individual child's well-being. It's about creating a society that understands and embraces neurodiversity in all its forms.
So what does this all mean for us? For the listeners who are now armed with all this knowledge, what's the takeaway message here? What can we do with this information?
One of the sources told this story that really stuck with me. It was about this young girl who was both gifted and autistic. For years, she struggled in school. Teachers labeled her as disruptive, difficult to teach. It wasn't until she received a proper dual diagnosis that things started to change. With the right support and understanding, she blossomed. She became this confident, engaged learner.
That's a powerful example of why this matters. It's not just about labels. It's about providing the right tools for these kids to flourish.
Exactly. And that starts with awareness and understanding. It's
Yeah.
about being able to recognize the signs, to ask the right questions, and advocate for the needs of these bright, unique minds.
So we need to be those champions, those allies who help create a world where these kids can thrive.
Exactly. And it starts with education.
Yeah.
With understanding the nuances we've talked about today, it's about recognizing the signs, asking the right questions, and making sure that these brilliant, unique minds get the support they deserve.
This has been such an insightful deep dive. I feel like I've learned so much, and I hope our listeners feel the same way.
And yeah, too. It's been a really fascinating exploration, and I hope it sparks some important conversations out there.
Before we go, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought to ponder. How can we each, in our own way, contribute to a more inclusive and supportive environment for neurodivergent individuals?
That's such a great question. And I think it's a question worth asking ourselves. It's a journey worth taking. Remember, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
And the more we understand about neurodiversity, the better equipped we are to make a real difference.